Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining the Success with Soul Summit, where we're giving you the clarity, clients, and success techniques to gain the freedom you would want to have a thriving business. I am your host, Erin DeAngelis, and I am so happy that you are joining us today. I'm really excited for our expert, Joanna Turner. She is a leading wealth and success coach. She's an advanced EFT and NLP practitioner. She also is a former accountant. Joanna mentors women entrepreneurs on creating successful businesses by helping them with their mindset, earning the income that they desire, getting confidence, and I am just thrilled to have her here with us. I instantly connected with Jo because we have so much in common in our background, both starting as accountants, both having journeys with food and money, so I'm excited to dive in. Thanks for being here, Jo.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here, too. Thanks, Erin.
Yay. Yeah. Cool. So would you mind sharing with everyone kind of how you got started in this line of work? Like, what steps led you to where you are today?
So I love that we were both accountants. It's an interesting journey. We're even on this call. We're very lucky that we got out alive, I think. I mean, in a nutshell, I wasn't a happy camper being an accountant. It wasn't good for my mental or physical health. I yo-yo diet, like up and down with my weight. I was burnt out and really not in a happy place. So, I guess my original introduction to even this world was really through trying to figure out my weight problems, and through that I discovered sort of natural health and became a little bit obsessed with that, trying to control my weight, and became really interested in it and became a health coach. So that was really my first initial footsteps into this world. And then for me, it was always I knew roughly what I should be eating. It just was I was unable to actually stick to anything and follow through, which caused a lot of frustration. And I realized it was way more about the emotional underlying stuff and why I couldn't stick to the healthy food, the diet, whatever it was. And there was a lot of emotional stuff going on I'd never realized I had or dealt with. So that led me down another track. So I discovered EFT and then got really passionate about helping women with emotional eating. And then something wasn't quite clicking with me and my sort of, I guess, bigger vision. And I had this little aha moment at one point when I realized that the same reasons people were emotionally eating were very connected to the same reasons they weren't making money in their business. And I thought, well, if I've been helping with this emotional eating and having great results, maybe I can also help people make more money. And as I'm an accountant by trade, talking about money again seems very normal. And I've sort of fallen into this place where I talk about money, but at the same time, it's not about the money either. It's always something deeper that's going on. So that's where I'm at today.
I love so many parts of what you just shared, especially I think for people listening who are on this entrepreneurial path, knowing that people like you who have found success now can look back and see that each part of their journey had a special place. Like if you hadn't started as a health coach, it wouldn't have led you to this winding road of connecting food and money and now working with entrepreneurs. But sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you can't see that clear path. It feels like, why can't I figure this out?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's it, because if I truly hadn't gone through all those things, I wouldn't understand all the different connections and the struggles. And I'm actually really, in a way, grateful that, you know, I made no money in the first 6 months of my business, and, you know, I'm quite honest about that. But, well, I mean, some money, but not very much. Compared to the corporate salary we're used to earning, for sure. I certainly, I wasn't quite covering my rent. But But yeah, I had to go through all that because I have to be able to understand and connect with what my clients are going through. And it's, and people are always like, wow, you really like go into my head. You really understand me. And I'm like, it's because I think I've had it.
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah.
It's not intuition. It's because
exactly.
I've been there.
I'm like, I get it. So I'm very grateful I did have those struggles, and I'm also grateful for the weight stuff, because without that I might have put up with it a bit longer. I might not have I might not have been searching for so many answers if mm-hmm. I'd never had that problem. So, you know, all these things are in our lives somewhere, and we've got to like find the learning and the meaning behind them. So
yeah, I agree. And what was it for you that like got things to click? So you said that you didn't make money at first. Was there like a turning point, something that shifted or that worked for you?
Yeah, like actually, funnily enough, I did write an ebook on that. 20 things changed, I think. so there was a few turning points. One was really interesting, though. I think it was a big sign. I was doing a high-level coaching program, the Academy, with Gina DeVee, who might be one of these interviews as well. So I was doing that program, loving it, and I had to submit recorded coaching hours to get my certification every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I had to get this module submitted, and I think I maybe had like 10 or 11 hours of coaching to record. And something happened and my recorder didn't work, and I lost all of the hours that I was supposed to record. And I was like, no. So I was like, so I put a shout out and I said, look, here are some of the things I can help you with, limiting beliefs. I think I might have said money box, but I said emotional eating, I'm a health coach. I said, whatever you need, I'll jump on and do some free coaching. I was like, I need a few hours right now. Who's available yeah. today? And I jumped uh-huh. on these calls. I literally just people booked in and we did back-to-back calls. It was amazing, but I find myself going, I hope the next one isn't health. I hope the next one isn't health. That's interesting. So I ended up doing a huge amount, like that week, I think I said I had 5 spots available, 25 people came to me, and I just thought, well, I'm going to get ahead of the next fortnight hours I need to submit. And so I coached absolutely everybody. I just, you know, no pitch, just said, look, here, how can I help you? Absolutely loved it, and from the back of that, I was like, there's no way I'm doing any more health stuff. It's all about business and these money blocks, and, you know, many of the people also had emotional eating stuff going on, and which sort of was a side benefit they'd get help with, and mm-hmm. through that week, I got my first 4 or 5 clients.
Wow. Oh, that's yeah. really cool.
Yeah, well, they were like, oh, great, how can I keep working with you?
Yeah, so. that's very inspiring. So I know that you like to use EFT, you're an EFT practitioner. Is that something that you use in all of your sessions with clients, or is it just one of your tools in your toolbox? Like, I'd love to kind of chat about that.
Yeah. So actually, that's one of the other things that changed around that same time. I was helping a lot of other people with EFT, but I hadn't really been doing much myself. And I know that how powerful it is. So I actually went and got a coach to help me so I could do it with them. So that was one of the other things that changed at that time. I started actually walking my own talk a little bit, which is always important. EFT... I use a combination now, again, and I think with anything, my work's evolved as I've learned mm-hmm. more and grown more, and I'm also an NLP practitioner. By the time this goes live, a master one, because I'm doing my master one in December, and
cool.
And so now my coaching, it's traditional coaching in some senses with the sort of questioning and pulling things out. There's business elements, there's sort of strategy and brainstorming stuff. there are elements of that. So not all of my coaching is just EFT. I usually do some NLP processes that really help us get to the crux of some of the problems to clear them out from the very first instance that the feeling or the emotion of a limiting belief appeared, which I've been absolutely loving doing. So I've been doing a lot of that work, sort of almost timeline therapy and going back to some crazy past life places, and it's been really, really cool work. But and then I sort of do a bit of NLP as well. It depends. The beginning of my packages usually are more heavy on the EFT and NLP work to really clear stuff out, and then once we've let go of a lot of the fear and we have more clarity, then it's sort of, I use it less, I suppose, as the program goes on, as we're sort of getting more into the business stuff and the core stuff. But it's really whatever that person needs on the day and what I feel like, and I go with my intuition. And you know, if somebody turns up on the phone like last week crying about splitting up with a boyfriend, we're not going to be able to talk about target market. So
right.
You know, like, what's going on? Let's clear this stuff first. And so it's really, it just depends what comes up, really.
Yeah. I like that, because, well, the thing that I keep noticing about your work is that you love to get to the root of the problem, because it seems like when you do that, then things shift. It's like the procrastination isn't an issue. The follow through isn't an issue, because you don't have those blocks that are keeping you stuck anymore.
Absolutely. That is my, I think getting to the crux of this stuff is so, so important, because if we don't go back and really change that blueprint and the way we operate, that it's just going to keep happening. You know, we can make some progress with like sheer determination, willpower, that masculine action. There's only so long we can keep that up before the power of that subconscious belief or block is going to pull us back again. So, for instance, like I would excessively exercise to try and counteract my emotional eating, but that, you know, I wasn't ever dealing with the underlying problem, and there's only so long you can sort of excessively exercise your way out of the problem. and even that wasn't working in the end, and I sort of wouldn't even do that. So, I definitely think going back and getting to the root of it all is just so important. Because if you don't, it's basically, you know, your 5-year-old or your 7-year-old self running the show, and I don't want little 7-year-old Joe making any more decisions for me.
Yeah. That was one thing that drove me crazy. So, I mean, I struggled with emotional eating for a long time too, and people would say, well, you just need to like deepen your self-love, or go for a walk, or, you know, take a bubble bath or something. And I was like, no, that doesn't work. Like, that's not getting to the heart of the issue. And it really is that like little person in you who just is crying out for love, whether it's with your money or with your food or relationships, whatever.
Yeah.
So, speaking of food and money and all of this, what were some of the biggest blocks that you had to overcome to find success? Was there anything that you noticed that kind of kept you stuck for a while?
Yes. And one of the things as well about this is they keep coming up. I'd love to say I let go of all my blocks in back after that first 6-month period, and then they never came back. But unfortunately, I'm sorry to break it to you and anyone else listening, that is, it just doesn't quite work like that. It's more blocks will come up every time we start something new, or we reach another new income threshold, whether it's breaking through to 10K for the first time, 20K for the first time, or launching a new product. That all of these things more new limiting thoughts and beliefs and blocks come up, and we sort of have to be aware of them at each of those different intersections so as they don't keep coming up. So that's been an interesting one for me, because I guess I've had to keep working at it, and you know, sometimes I don't think I'll ever stop learning and working on these things. But a huge one on the emotional eating side for me was I realized I'd been really trying to protect myself from relationships, from ultimately being hurt in a relationship. So I was keeping myself big enough to feel uncomfortable to not want to date and to not feel attractive enough to be in a relationship. Very subconsciously, I had no idea. All I've ever wanted is to be slim and have a boyfriend. But I was blocking the relationship with my behavior, and I was blocking in other ways by sort of protecting myself with this weight. So that was a huge breakthrough for me, realizing that I had anything to do with it, and it wasn't just all of these horrible men out there. I was like, oh my God, I might actually have something to do with this. Wow, and it might actually change. So that was really massive for me. It's been a huge, this business has been such a huge personal development journey. And again, I'm so grateful, because I don't think anything would have changed if I hadn't had some of these realizations. I'm now pretty sure I will meet someone, and I'm currently still single, but I think having so much more realizations about these things. Another big one, for me and also for a lot of women, is charging your worth. We change careers, again, both of us, you know, we both come from really highly qualified corporate backgrounds where we did our exams and then we go in and we get paid, but we never really have to ask for that money. There's not really it's almost like we don't connect earning the money to the work that we're doing. It just arrives in our bank account once a month or every 2 weeks or however you work. You never really have to ask for it. I never even negotiated a pay rise, you know, during my entire 13-year career. It was either negotiated for me or they gave it to me automatically. So I never had to really question that. So I think as soon as I'm now starting this new career, but I'm not as qualified as I was, and suddenly I'm starting thinking about how much I'm charging by the hour, and am I good enough, and do I deserve this, and can I make it work, and what are people going to think of me, and all things come up that you didn't even realize. And the funny thing was, I'd uncovered a lot of that emotional stuff about my weight before I quit my job. My weight was stable, I was quite fit, and then I quit my job and all of these new issues came up, and I was like, oh my, and I was emotionally eating again. I realized I had more of this stuff to go. So a lot of, for me, it was really about owning my worth, charging, asking for money. There was a huge piece around that for me, and switching my head over from how much do I charge per hour to what are the results I'm getting for people, how am I changing their life. That was a huge one for me. The other one as well I've really struggled with, judgment, comparing myself. I call it comparisonitis.
Oh, that's what I got too.
Like when we're always looking at other people, and she's thinner than me, happier than me, better dressed, prettier, like whatever those, you know, more successful, you know, we're constantly looking at these other people, making judgments on them and then judgments on ourselves, and it really is a horrible, horrible place to be in, and judgment is linked to, have you ever heard of the David Hawkins scale of consciousness? He sort of puts a vibrational number on different emotions. And enlightenment and love are way up at the top, with sort of 700 to 1,000 up on the scale. And the very, very two bottom numbers are guilt and shame. And they are the absolute lowest vibrational feelings you can possibly have. And obviously with money, we want to be aligned with money and certain amounts of money at a certain vibration. And if we are thinking really low vibrational thoughts, guilt and shame, and especially as women, guilt being the second lowest on the list, I was like, oh God, I could feel guilty before I even get out of bed in the morning. So, right? Like, I think so many of us, especially a lot of mums, feel huge amounts of guilt. I feel guilt because I live overseas away from my family. I had a lot of guilt about that. So addressing that and then letting go of some of that guilt around our businesses and our charging, our money, and shame was right at the very bottom of that list. And I was like, wow, shame is directly linked to what other people think of us and judgment and sort of that worry about being humiliated and rejected and sort of those feelings way down at the bottom, but they're where a lot of us are playing. Especially when we're in that judgment and judging ourselves and all of that. So I think that blocks a lot of us from money, staying in that sort of murky place of not a lot of self-love going on. So letting go of those kind of feelings is definitely helped me dramatically, and something I continue to work on and continue to release as I grow and learn more and mature more and step into all this. It's been a really, really interesting process. But that I think for women especially is a really key place to start.
I love that you shared all of that. And thank you so much for your vulnerability, because it's so true. We see in our Facebook groups and on Instagram people sharing their $10,000 months, and you know, it's so easy to slip into that comparison mode. And like you were saying before, about every time you step up in your business and make a bigger leap, those things will still come up. It's just that you have the tools to kind of be aware more than you were at first and handle them differently than you would if you were not aware of it.
I quite often say it's the, you'll always come up with the blocks, but it's the length of time you let it affect you is the difference. Sorry, go on.
Oh, no, it's so funny that you brought up the guilt and shame, because there have been a couple personal decisions I've made in my life this last week where I noticed that feeling of guilt coming up, and I kept thinking guilt is the least productive emotion, because it's not like anger where it kind of propels you forward. It's not like sadness where you can release it. It's just heavy and gross. It's funny that, like, as women, we put that on ourselves so much. It's not... it's not very nice of us to do, but we do it. And so I'm glad that you brought that into the conversation.
I think as well, it also stops us really enjoying where we're at. You know, you can be, you know, even as entrepreneurs, we keep hearing about, you know, bringing in more feminine and more self-care. And then, you know, if it's like, oh, I'm taking myself off for a massage, and then like feeling guilty about having an hour off for a massage or spending the money for the massage. And you're like, we keep making ourselves wrong wherever we go. And then it's like we don't even allow ourselves sometimes to fully enjoy the things we do allow for ourselves. So, and funnily enough, same goes into the eating thing as well. If the more stressed and guilty you feel when you eat something, the more weight you gain. It's a real, horrible irony of the whole thing. You know, if you feel no guilt eating something, it won't affect you even half as bad. So we need to keep dropping this guilt thing. It's just not helpful.
Yeah, let's all do it together. No more. And it's so true with the food, and especially that emotional eating coming up with business. For me, I noticed that. Like, if I had to write an email that I just was, like, worried about seeing what my prices were or something like that, oh, my gosh, I would just run to the cupboard and be like, oh, this is – you know, I tried to squash that anxiety down. Yeah. So I totally can relate. So I wanted to, I know we're getting close to our time here, but I wanted to ask you, because we both have done quite a bit of traveling, and for me, traveling was something that really felt liberating, and it was like, oh my gosh, I don't have to check in with anyone about what I'm going to eat or what museum I want to go to. And I'm just wondering if that had anything to do with your story. Like, how has traveling helped you grow or maybe taught you anything? Was that part of your growth?
Oh, I love that. Traveling for me has been just huge. To be really honest, like, I left Scotland 11 years ago, and I go back sort of at least once a year, sometimes twice, and but I think I was seeking something, so I think I've always been looking for something more exciting, something bigger, especially being an accountant. I was like, oh, I need to at least do this somewhere exciting. So when I left Scotland, I lived in Bermuda for 6 years, which was a great experience. I learned a lot, but at the same time, and I also wanted a bigger adventure. And I've done some crazy traveling. I've been all around. I cycled around China. I've hiked Inca Trail through glaciers in Patagonia, like whitewater rafted down the Grand Canyon for 10 days. Like, I go extreme traveling.
That's awesome.
And it's the funniest thing, though, because I'm actually the biggest chicken. And I've done most of this on my own, literally just to make me feel a little bit alive and to push my comfort zone. So it's taught me a lot about myself, who I really am, how I can step up when things happen. It's let me see how the rest of the world lives, to be more grateful. It's given me so many different perspectives on things, and really, I mean, my confidence in what I believe I can achieve, and what I'm capable of. You're the first person that's ever asked me this, but I sometimes forget that not everybody does or has done the amount of traveling I've done and in the way I've done it, and I sort of forget how important it is, really. So for me, it's really been huge, and that freedom is huge. I've actually made, as of about 2 months ago, I technically have no fixed abode, and I'm on the road again. So I'm working now from a laptop, and I'm going to be traveling until I feel the need to stop again.
That's exciting.
With more of a base, less focused on the crazy adventure and more on the sort of being somewhere and experiencing what it's like to live somewhere. So,
neat.
I love travel. I absolutely love it.
Yes, me too. I think that for the people who are listening who haven't traveled, I hear that about from entrepreneurs often, that they want to make more money so that they can begin to travel. And I believe that travel is valuable whether you're doing it on a shoestring or whether you are doing it from your laptop, you know, working on your laptop while you're doing it. It's amazing all around. But it's fun to have experienced both, and having that freedom in your schedule, I'm sure, is something that is inspiring to all of your clients.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the travel I've done has been very budget. You know, I took a year when I was 30, and I didn't work a day when I was 30. I, you know, stayed in some youth hostels and took the bus, and, you know, it wasn't all super glamorous and, you know, staying in these beautiful fancy places that people see them in now. So it's been a mixture, and some of the places I've been, I don't even think there is luxury accommodation available in India and Nepal and some of those places. You know, you're halfway up a mountain and there aren't that many options. But the other, I just really quickly wanted to mention, when I said that all of those things, a lot of the time I'm like, oh, I don't really want to do it, and I do it anyway. Things like going caving or climbing some crazy thing or some crazy mountain biking adventure. Half the time, to be honest, I don't really want to do it. But afterwards, I'm so proud of myself. Then the next time I go and do something, it's easier. And I think it's very similar with business. And people often say the magic happens outside of your comfort zone. And I think relating that back into business, we also have a financial comfort zone where people stay most of their lives. And if they get out of it, either too low or too high, they very quickly somehow get themselves back into their comfort zone. So we've got to keep not just our personal comfort zone, but our financial comfort zone has to keep expanding too, or we will sabotage ourselves until we stay in it. So it's a kind of interesting way there with the money.
Yeah. Thank you. And that reminds me, you've invested in so many amazing programs. When you've done the Academy, and I saw that you've worked with Tony Robbins and your EFT training, NLP, you know, and for transformation junkies like you and I, it's amazing and incredible. But I think that kind of ties back in. It's like making this investment to expand yourself. If you're staying in that comfort zone, it feels scary to put that money forth. But when you do, it helps stretch you.
So much. I've been at the beginning. I was juggling things around on different credit cards, and I was like, I just get this feeling in my stomach. I'm like, I have to do this. There's something I need to do, and I've really trusted my gut on it. And I think I'm at clocking up about 80 grand on coaching and courses and personal development this year. Which is a massive investment, I'm aware of that. a little frightening to confront the true numbers. But at the same time, every time I do it, I'm like, it's for me, I know it's coming back, and I know I'm also going to be able to help other people with the stuff I've learned. And I haven't regretted any of it. The people I've met, the things I've learned, who I've become in the process. I think there's a huge element of not knowing what you don't know. And I think it almost frightens me when people think they can start these businesses and they don't seek expert help. Like, I was talking to my mastermind buddy the other day, and I'd listened to somebody say, how did you get so smart? And she's like, well, I haven't done this myself. I've gone and I've found really good teachers, and I've learned from the teacher. And, you know, I think if you don't do that, I wanted as well. I'm like, I want to be the best I can be as quickly as possible. I'm in this for, you know, I'm not in it to mess around. I'm in this to make a serious career. So I want to compress my own learning and timeline and become an expert as quickly as I possibly could. That's been part of the reason behind that massive investment in all that learning. So, yeah, but it does scare me. I spoke to somebody about a week ago, and she was just trying to start and making it up as she went along, and I've done a bit of that, but I'm very, very, very grateful I sought help early on and invested like I did.
Yeah, you could probably do it on your own if you wanted to, but it would take so much longer. And when you hit those doubts, it's so nice to have somebody to walk you through and to show you the smooth path because they've been through it. It's like a million times harder on your own, because I was one of those people that thought, oh, I can do this. I already own my own business. This is fine. And it was not fine. I definitely hit walls, and having a mentor is crucial, I believe.
Whatever that thing looks like, whether it's a one-on-one coach, a group program, like there's a lot of options. But I would get yourself into something where there is support from other people who have gone through it, and a place where there is one-on-one connection as well. I think that's really important.
I agree. I definitely agree. And speaking of that, how can people connect with you moving forward?
Yeah, well, I'd love to speak to anyone. My website is missionforbalance.com. I have a tab with some free resources in it. I've got a really cool new information bundle all about procrastination. There's an ebook, some audio, and an assessment to see whether money blocks are the real reason you actually procrastinate. I've also got a really cool challenge coming up at the beginning of January. It's going to run, and it's going to be all about abundance and really setting yourself up for the best 2016 there is. And I have a group coaching program coming up in January as well. So really excited about all these things happening. But you can find me at missionforbalance.com.
Awesome. Thank you. So missionforbalance.com will include the link there. And Joe, I am so happy we got to connect today. Thank you for your vulnerability and for sharing your wisdom, your story. It's just inspiring and uplifting. And I'm really grateful for this time together.
Thank you so much, Erin. It's been a real pleasure. And, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. Okay, well, for everyone listening, please feel free to listen to the replay and connect with Joe moving forward. Have a wonderful day.